in nature because they can't grow. They're infertile. There are no seeds. And what's crazy is when I started noticing this, especially a few months ago, was like, whoa, there's no seeds anywhere. I said, okay, let me get organic. You know what I mean? Let me buy some organic stuff, right? It should be seeded. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So they put the organic on it because there's no pesticides on it, right? But at the end of the day, it is still modified. These fruits and vegetables are still infertile and they are seedless. So be careful what you are putting in your mouth, y'all, okay? Because even last night, I was out here and I was like, okay, you know what? I want to eat a banana. So I had bought a couple of bananas the other day and I like my bananas ripe. So, okay, I let it brown a little bit, ripen up a little bit. So anyways, last night I said, let me peel it as I'm working, as I'm doing some stuff. And I took a bite into it and I was like, ooh, something is not right with this banana, y'all. And I looked at it and there were no seeds inside the banana. Now, the banana was white as snow, hard as rock, but the banana peel was ripe. Now, we have to understand what's going on. And I know that some people listening to me right now are going to say, oh, Tammy, you know what? You're going too far. It doesn't matter if it's not seeded. It doesn't matter if it's a seedless fruit and vegetable, right? No, at the end of the day, it does matter. Because what we need to understand is that being sick is a business. And pharmaceutical companies profit off of the masses being sick. And in order for the masses to be sick, how do they do that? The biggest way they do that is with food. We can see that when you go to a fast food restaurant, there's nothing good at these fast food restaurants. Now people started getting hip, started, you know, caring about their body. So, okay, they're buying fruits and vegetables and paying attention. And now all of a sudden everything is seedless. Keep in mind, y'all, that there's always a reason why behind everything that happens. And most often it's at the detriment of the masses, of the people, of us, right? So please make sure you are careful about what you are eating. Take a look, cut open a fruit right now and see if there's seeds. If there's seeds, we like that. If there are no seeds, chuck it. You don't need it. Finished. Nope, don't even eat it, right? The last thing I want to talk about as well is just for y'all to question things, right? As you guys know, you know, I always encourage people to think objectively, to analyze things, right? I think it's important to reflect on things. Why, if you go, let's say, to Walmart, right, which is one of the cheapest places to do your grocery shopping, if you go to Walmart and you get, I don't know, you know, 3 green peppers or 3 orange peppers, whatever, it's going to run you about $9.50, right? But green peppers are good for your body. You know what I'm saying? But a box of granola bars for a pack of 6 will run you about $2.30. Why is that, right? The granola bars are packed with sugar, coloring, chemicals, right? It's not good for you. And it's especially not good for your developing children. But yet a green pepper, for 3 green peppers, is going to run you about $9. Question things, y'all. Please keep paying attention. Okay? And just make sure you're watching what you put in your mouth, y'all. My time is up. I love y'all. Y'all can find me on Instagram at Tammy Tuesdays. Come through, share your thoughts with me, share some information with me. And yeah, let's just politic. Stay blessed, y'all. Peace.
Hey, everybody. I'm Gina the Great, a.k.a. Miss Politically Correct, a.k.a. The Devil's Advocate, a.k.a. Big Lyran Energy. And this is Ungrind My Gears, a segment where we keep it light, keep it bright, and share some fun facts and some jokey jokes.
All right. It's that time for a little bit of Black facts. Now, you guys all know that I don't necessarily believe in Black History as just one singular month, but I don't mind having a Black History Month theme. Because Black history is my history, and my history is all history. Just for those...
Talk about it. Sorry.
For those who want to know what we're trying to hone in on for the 2023, the Black History Month 2023 theme is Black resistance. So what you should be, I mean, hey, you being the schools, when you decide to say that this is Black history, and so you share that, You should explore how African Americans, or just, well, I say African Americans, I don't know, people go to the US about it, but you know, it's all North Africa, and we came to the Africans about it, so use that generously. So African Americans or African Canadians, all of that, have resisted historic and ongoing oppression in all forms, especially the racial terrorism of lynching, racial programs, and police killings since the nation's earliest days. And what I want to encourage people to do is that, yes, I understand that we have to keep people informed. And a lot of times at this point in time, I need people to understand that Black History Month is not to educate Black people, it's to educate the ones who have had this history hidden from them, if you will. Because I promise you, when you speak to a lot of these non-melanated or less melanated, if you will, people, or even the foreign people who come here, who don't know, right? Because, oh my goodness, I have to find this this clip. I think I might have shared it in the Empower Hour WhatsApp feed. But it was an Asian American woman who was responding to a question that someone asked and said, like, why do Asian people, like, hate Black people so much? You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's always that issue, or why they racist towards Black, when you see that a lot of that stereotype being propagated in the US. Mm-hmm. She kind of turned around and said, and I'll give it briefly in a nutshell, is that when these people who migrated, so the Asian people who migrated, or the Chinese people who migrated, they're not privy to the history of all the things that's happened to all the Black people. But when they get here, you know, they're used to try to be as an ally, and they see the Karen tears, if you will.
The Karen tears, yes. Yeah.
And so they see the Karen tears, and they're being fed by media, by politics, by the systemic racism that's already in place, that Black people are to be feared, and that we are just criminals, and we're just angry for no reason. So if you go to a foreign place and you're being told, hey, watch out for that group, or don't go into that neighborhood because it's dangerous,
yeah,
what are you going to do?
That's all you want. True.
And so she kind of gave a really, really great breakdown on that. And so I'm going to try to find that and share it. If I didn't share it in mail, I do have it somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I found that really great. And that's when I realized, like, Black History Month in and of itself is it's not necessarily only to educate Black people, because, hey, we know we've been enslaved.
You know?
So if even with this theme for 2023 being about the resistance, sure, you can speak to that for the white folks, for the oppressors. Let me just say that, actually. I'm not gonna just say white folks. You can have that for the oppressors, so they understand their privilege. But I also want us to come out one of these years with, you know, the greatness, like Black greatness.
Talk about it. Yep.
Because, like, otherwise February just feels depressing.
But it is time. But what you're talking about right now, I feel it's the energy in the atmosphere, because it's a time for a new renaissance. It's a time for a new awakening, a new, like, you know, you're like maybe the fifth or sixth person to drop that kind of energy. Like, you know, we're tired of that old narrative. Like, it's a new day. Like, we need to be, like, talking about our greatness, our awesomeness, and bringing back, and, like, just talking about the, you know, the amazing things we're building. And it's just like, just anyway, I think it's a new day across
the board. I don't want to take away from the greatness of what resistance showed, right? Like, and of the greats like Toussaint, you know, and what he did for Haiti. And that shows power in and of itself. But, like, to get, before you even get to the imagery of that power, there shows so many imagery of like degradation of a people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Then the focus is on that. And then, because I was talking to my dad, because Will Smith just came out with a new movie on that. And I was just like, honestly, I haven't watched another slavery movie since, and I didn't watch the 12 Years of Slave, but, like, when 12 Years of Slave came out, I was just like, I think I'm not watching this, right?
No.
I don't want to, not because I don't want to support, but I know it's going to change my energy towards what I want to do as a goal. And I just kind of really stopped watching slavery movies from that point on. And I only want to watch Black excellence from that point on, right? And as I told my dad, he's like, yeah, but you know, these things are important. I'm like, it's absolutely important. And it's important for the generation after me to understand the history of it. Because I told my dad, I was like, you know, honestly, I didn't realize it when I was a kid, because I just figured everybody knew this, but my the knowledge of slavery and all these things was thanks to my dad, because he sat us down and was just like, here, you got to watch Roots as a kid. Right. And you're kind of like, this is not a fun movie.
Watch it. Right. You're going to know today. You're going to learn today.
You're going to learn today. And we had to sit there and we watched it. And there was a whole other understanding of what it meant to be Black in these streets. Right. not realizing, because that's our reality. So we were taught that, not realizing that this is something that's done, that's not done in all households. True. You know, like, let's sit down and talk with these kids. So yes, every generation needs to understand why, because then otherwise it's like, well, why is the cop stopping me for no reason? Or why is this happening? Oh, well, here's a little history to that. But like, I'm good. I'm learned.
Yeah. And you know, but it's funny because it, like what you're saying is, it is a real, it's a real conversation, because also knowing the power of the mind and not wanting to plant the seeds where a child is now now creating their own reality because of their negative expectations. But you want to make sure that they're aware. Right. So you want to make sure that they're aware of the surroundings, but you want to make sure that they're not creating that reality for themselves. So it's like a catch 22. It's like, you know, because
I use a different world as my roots for my children. You're going to have a glimpse of understanding of the things, but you just got to see, like, because, you know, a different world was based in was the setting was in a HBCU, so historically Black college and university.
Right.
And then it's showing people getting educated, showing graduating doctors and scientists and all these different things. So I'm just like, yeah, that's going to be my roots for my kids, a different world.
Yeah.
I also explained to them that this was the 80s in a different setting, so certain things don't fly. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I guess my base or my setting that I share with my children is Blackish. Blackish, and we watched the other day, actually, shout out to Eugenia for sending the Jackson 5 documentary. Yeah. Oh my gosh, we obviously ate that all one time. We just sat down as a family and took in that whole 4-hour thing. It was great. It was like everybody loved it. So that between that and Blackish, I think that's the foundation I'm setting for my children, because it's like, yeah, I like the example that Blackish sets as just a well-off Black family. I find there's a lot of they talk about a lot of good scenarios. It's like, I guess it's like a modern day Cosby Show, if you ask, you know, if you want to compare it to something.
Yeah.
You know, and I find that
Cosby was a gynecologist and Claire was a lawyer.
A lawyer, yeah, exactly. You know, so it's like, so it's like that kind of thing, except one's in marketing and the other one is still in the health field. Like, you know, Bo is a doctor. But yeah, no. So I like that, because I find it gives a good example, and it shows all the different sides, and shows like the hood side, and shows like the comical side. But it just shows that, no, like, we could be well off melanated people, like, you know, and you know, not have to sell out or not have to, you know, like, worry too much because we live a certain way. But
mm-hmm. That part. So that was Black Facts for the day. We really dived into that.
Mm-hmm.
My motivational quote, if you will, and it's a combination of different sayings that I've heard around and whatnot, and I definitely want to give this out to start of the as P says, Gregorian New Year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tongue twister. abandon the mindset of scarcity and adopt one of abundance.
Say it loud for the people in the back. Sorry.
No, they could just rewind. Jokes. Okay, abandon the mindset of scarcity and adopt one of abundance, because I promise you, if you live life thinking that there's not enough, there will be not enough.
Amen.
And I say that to say too, because I came across a post of it made me laugh, but a guy was there, he's like, okay, 2023, I'm going to be healthy. And then he turns on, he's eating, right? So he has his first bowl, he's having eggs, a plate of eggs. And then he turns on his social media and it's just like, 3 reasons why I don't eat eggs. And he's just like, okay, well, I won't eat eggs then. And then he grabs some oatmeal, because, you know, oatmeal is supposed to be good for you. And then it was just like, oatmeal's the devil. And then he's like, damn it, okay. So he's like, all right, well, I'm going to eat vegetables. And then someone's just like, this is why I don't eat vegetables, and I'll tell you why you shouldn't either. He's like, okay, all right. I'll just drink water, because there's nothing wrong with water. And then another one, you should never drink water because it's dead. And then he's like, and my thing is that the internet is so polarizing that I promise you there's something there to tell you that there's something wrong with whatever it is that you're doing. right. thinking, feeling, saying. So when it comes down to your food, just bless it and eat it. Remember the bless it and eat it situation? And that was one of the things too that I got from my counsel when I was kind of just like, well, like, what should I do with this, that, and third? And it's like, okay, yes, there's certain foods out there that's really out there to kill you. However, and comma, if you just put a little light on there, you know, talk to the food, be like, thank you for your sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Thank you for what you're here to do. Please nourish and bless my body. And, you know, if there's any negativity in this, you know, just kind of bless that out. Yeah. Bless it out of the food. And then, you know what? It's going to do what it's supposed to do. Because otherwise, that, you know, you ever, well, maybe not because you're a dude, but like, I just remember, oh, maybe guys go through this too. Don't get me wrong. But I remember, especially early in my career, every time I would eat with my colleagues, it'd be like, oh, I can't eat this. This is going to go right through my thighs. Or they'd take a bite of a cookie and like, oh my gosh, it's going to go right to my ass. Or And then I started adopting that thing because that's just part of how you chit chat in the lunchroom, right?
Right.
And I was just like, wait, you guys set me up. Now, anytime I eat something, I'm like, oh, this is going right to my thighs. Oh, this is going. And guess what? Guess where it went?
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, right to where you said it was. So I rebuked that. And now I'm just going to bless and eat whatever it is I eat. I'm not saying that I'm going to go on an all donut diet. Don't get me wrong.
You're right.
Is a devil, but I'm just saying, don't be nitpicky about it.
Well, you know, and when you started the piece and you're saying that, you know, it's just like one of the things that I guess sticks out to me all the time is when people put out intentions and I shouldn't say put out intentions. They hear what you said in terms of, you know, like just watch what you say and watch what you speak or whatever the case, because that becomes your reality or whatever that is. And there's people that will throw a certain kind of energy on that, negative energy, because they're looking at their current circumstance and not acknowledging the fact that what they had spoke about yesterday is what's creating their today. So they have to kind of live through their today to get, you know, but just start changing your talk now to empower your tomorrow. So it's not like a magical wand where it's like all of a sudden you start, you know, speaking things and saying things and then voila, your life is different. It is a process because you are where you are right now. So you like, and you're living your yesterday's thoughts. So it's like, we always have to remember that, you know, it's a process. It's a process. And it's like, as you acknowledge, you know better, you do better. And like for this year, really, like we got to put out that energy and intend for the best, speak the best, speak that positivity into our lives. And just know that we're going to purge out the negative and start living more of the positive.
Yeah, I'm all about positivity. And when I get back home, because I'm gonna be back home in a couple of days. Actually, but when this drop, I will be back home. I'm gonna start looking for not to say like-minded people, but like groups and stuff like that are into exploring more of that spirituality, the whole star seeds this situation. Because I was just like, yeah, I think I just need to surround myself with a bit more of that and get more knowledge. Because I really do think that this year is going to be a year of gaining more knowledge and putting that into effect, right? So I've been accumulating a lot of knowledge in the years and like gems and stones, but now it's about time to put you know, the pedal to the metal. Proof in the pudding and all those other sayings that mean
stop,
that.
Stop it. Okay. Don't say any other ones. Okay.
Don't.
What?
Don't. I felt the challenge, but you know what? The
new I thought you had three or four more you're going to try to pull out. I was like, stop.
I didn't, but I could.
No.
I didn't, but I could. So let's get into some social media gone wild. And wild it definitely does go. I don't know. Well, no, actually I'm talking to you and you clearly haven't been on social media because you're going through your purge. So congratulations on that. I hope it's going great and I hope it does for you what it did for me when I did it.
It's been going exceptionally well. Thank you for asking.
But there's a TikTok dance craze that's going around that they're doing to the song Party Animal. You know Party Animal.
Do I?
Party Animal. Yes, of course you do. It was a classic the moment it dropped. I'm just saying.
Okay, one second. Andrew, cue Party Animal, please.
You're a nerd. So, you know, there's this, like, it tells you exactly how to dance the dance in the song, right? You know, flip a like a flip a gram, all these different things, right? So now on TikTok, there's this slew of a certain people that are share the color of paper.
Stop it.
Who decided to do a dance, which originally I didn't realize apparently it was done by a Polynesian TikToker. At least one claimed it was, but what has gone viral is a subset of people doing it. And so there was one Caribbean girl who's kind of like, are y'all seeing all this? And they're dancing to this, and she's laughing because she's like, that's not how the dance goes. But then there's a whole clip of seeing that whole degradation of what happened, and where one Polynesian man felt that it was his duty to make note of the apparent disrespect that this one Caribbean person did in his eyes. And I'm gonna let you guys know a little bit about the comments after we play it.
I've been seeing a lot of drama involving the Caribbean people and Polynesian people. Of this woman right here from the Caribbean, dissing these dance moves because these dance moves have nothing to do with the Caribbean lyrics. Trying to gatekeep and say, well, you know, this is not what the lyrics mean. Who gives a damn? We created your dance. We made your song trending. We saw these dead songs and we revived it. You might have created the meal, but don't be mad at us because we sprinkled some spice on that.
One, Caribbeans aren't beefing with Polynesians. Y'all let the Caucasity find out about y'all little patty cake dances and go nuts. We got beef with unseasoning, not people. Two, calling Party Animal a dead song is a highly misinformed statement. That is a timeless classic that is still played at events and parties till this day. And not just Caribbean moves. It's one of the only 10 Caribbean songs American DJs know to play to show off their diversity. Three, y'all make it sound like we should be grateful that y'all had the song trending, but we didn't ask for that. The last thing we was trying to see was unseasoned TikTok dances to dancehall, soca, God forbid, compa. This is our nightmare! And you said y'all made whose dances? I ain't seen none of y'all wine. The instructions in the song are very clear. But most importantly, don't you ever in your life say you need to add spice to a Caribbean meal. We will find you!
Now listen, sir. I appreciate what you thought you were saying and what you thought you were doing, but you weren't doing what you thought you were doing, sir. So you were, and like, I'm here for the Polynesians. Like, I mean, bro, we have this in history. What are you doing right now? Like, come from the same struggle. What are you saying?
No, but everybody has their, you know, it's they like, you know, it's funny. It goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. Like, and it's funny, I didn't even know we were gonna play it, but it's like, it really does, yeah, like as soon as one person has one thing to say or to show, somebody's always gonna clap back.
But the thing too about it is, because he's fairly young, right? So he's a younger Polynesian, and I think this also falls into that whole gotta teach the others about our history so that they understand where we come from. Cause like, I mean, I'm familiar. Do I know it in depth? But I'm familiar with the Polynesian history and what happened to you in Australia and all these things, and what continuously happens to you and you being a marginalized community. So I don't understand how come you, sir, young man, my age, right? Young man.
I know this is wrecking the man, but all right.
I don't know why you feel, well, you felt the need to come for we. Mm-hmm. But in the comments, someone said, I cannot name one song from Polynesia, sir, please stop.
No, it is true though. Who is you? You're not lying. I do you know any Polynesian songs?
I don't.
And you know everything, so.
Well, outside of what played in Moana, but I feel that's slightly racist if I were to say that. But speaking of Moana, somebody else in the comments said, Moana uncle trying to go viral. We should resist.
Oh gosh, damn.
Yeah, I don't know. Everybody's like, guys, just stop the beef. Be bitch. Mm-hmm. Yep, that was my corny mom joke right there.
Stop it.
I don't have any dad jokes for you this week, so I had to do it.
Yay! Cue the cheers.
Don't ever disrespect my second.
I mean. I like, yeah, this new way of communicating with Andrew, the live directly through the show where we could get him to do the edits and throw in the sound effects and stuff is exceptional.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Another post that was wild when I read it, because so Nick Cannon got a lot of babies and babies to come, and at one point he had mentioned that he was feeling he was being spread a little thin, and
He was being strengthened, like as if, is it the women are coming to him and like Nick Cannon, give me a baby, and he's like, okay, and then
no.
he's like, enough is enough. I'm not giving you guys any more
There's no more
children.
semen to give.
Yeah.
No, in a sense where you're having all these babies, you're still supposed to father, you know what I mean?
Naturally, yeah.
And you still want to be part of the lives of your children, BT dubs. But Akon came and chimed in. Akon, the great father of the year awards that he wins.
Yeah.
Akon defends Nick Cannon having numerous kids with multiple women, says events with children like dance recitals aren't important. That's white man's thing. Who gives an F about recitals? Is
I saw
what,
that clip.
right? Though that's what he said. And thank you, we the people. I love we the people, because then there was a slurry of black fathers who posted their pictures saying dance recitals aren't important, question mark. Yeah, okay. And then the hashtag dance dad came out, and there's just a bunch of black fathers with their ballerina black daughters. One man said, I drove 8 hours to see my daughter in her recital. F what they talking about. Yes. I put thousands of miles on my car, spent thousands on hotels. It's important to be someone your child can depend on. I drove 4 hours just to be there for the first cheerleading competition. I'm there every first day of school. I'm there. This is not a white man thing. Speak about it. And there was another one who put a video showing proof that showing up matters. And then when the son finally sees his father in the crowd, like just smiles and waves, and like, because the whole attitude, the child was kind of just walking, kind of scared and a little like shaky. And as soon as they saw their father, they lit up. And then the post also ended with a daughter saying, my father showed up every time and it meant everything for me. So,
Can I? But let me play a devil's advocate, because like, is it to show up at every recital? Is it to go to the practices, or is it just the shows? Is it, like, is it to go to the practice or like and the games,
no,
or is it to go to the
recital.
games?
A recital. When you say recital, that's your performance.
Yeah, that's the actual show. So not just the practice, it's the actual show. And is it every recital? Because sometimes like there's like a couple of recitals within the season.
Listen.
I'm asking just because, again, just to put it in perspective, right? Because when Akon is saying like F a recital, for sure he had to expect a kind of backlash, because again, it's too broad of a statement. And again, going back to the point at the beginning of the show, which seems like it seems to be the theme, is that it's like when he said that, F a recital, it's because the fact he's like, look, I have over a dozen children, or however many children he has. And he's like, look, I can't say I'm going to every show. Like, yeah, maybe I'll catch one recital. Like maybe if there's four in the season, I might not be able to catch all four, but I'll make sure that I catch one. But isn't what's the priority? The priority is making sure I'm present to help with her homework, to make sure that I'm there, like, to make sure that I'm helping her to practice at home, but maybe I don't have time to get to the show, but I'm putting my time in, making sure that I'm present in that aspect, right? But maybe I don't have time to go to the show, but I'm here to help with everything else.
Okay, clearly someone's feeling targeted, but let me
No,
repeat.
I am at every recital. I'm just saying, I'm doing
I'm
this correctly.
gonna repeat the quote. The man said, "That's a white man's thing. Who gives an F about a recital?" So I just want to be sure, were you playing devil's advocate to that quote?
Yeah.
Okay. So what that quote states, that he's saying it doesn't matter for a father and or a parent to show up to a recital. That's white people thing, to show up to your children's recital, to show up to your children's show.
Well, okay, like, well, and anytime you, okay, so now from that perspective, from like ironing out like the race, I was even paying attention to the race aspect, like, because even that's a flagrant foul, because obviously it's not a white thing. I'm not necessarily questioning the race aspect. So if that's what he's being dragged for, then okay, yes, then by all means, because
fathers were just like, I don't know what you're talking about. I go to my daughter's recital.
It's got not it. About, okay, yeah.
I don't know. It's not about him saying, well, you can't go to everyone. It doesn't make you a bad parent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Like, right. Sometimes these recitals are 3 o'clock in the PMs. You can't mm-hmm. always get off of work.
You're right.
No one's saying that. No one's mm-hmm. saying that, like, showing up is important. And I'm telling you, as a Black daughter, it was important when... And my father, who didn't live here either, right? And my mom, who had to work two jobs or whatever. But when I had my handball tournaments,
mm-hmm.
There were the moments where it was just me. It was a drop off and like, see you later. And your performance level, when you have someone in the crowd, hits different.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right.
The performance level, I remember the first time I went to go see Naz play when he was in college. And that game that he played was so phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the end, his teammates came to me like, you have to come to every game, because that was
insane. Next level. Okay.
Back to the coach to do a little bring Gina to Iowa fund. And I'm like, otherwise, it's not mm-hmm. feasible.
Right,
but like, it does something different. And I know this from how it is with my younger siblings. And I know it from when I was an athlete and how I felt. Or even when we had, because we did ballet and stuff like that too. I think he is out of pocket for that narrative. You can feel right. what you want to feel. And again, you tell me like, oh, but he has 12 kids. They didn't just appear, sir. You knew you could have stopped having kids at any given moment.
Mm-hmm.
Any given moment. If you're going to choose to have, because it's a choice.
Right.
Because you don't tell me like, oh, but the mother kept it or blah, 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 blah. And I didn't want that. It's a choice for you to go and have unprotected sex to have to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. That's just what that is. So if you're going to choose to go father umpteen children and then choose to not be present, just say you're the deadbeat that you were. That's it. That's all I'm saying. Yes, and then you can say all that you want and be like, ah, that's a white people thing. I'm like, cool, it's a deadbeat thing, but you good, sir. You good, sir.
Yeah, I want to hear from the children, like, because it's one thing for a father.
I just said, I am one of the children.
Yeah, you're one of Akon's children?
Come on now.
I never knew. I never knew it. There is a resemblance. I did see, but then where in the lineage?
Akon could never.
We'll take it offline, Gina. We'll take it offline. But no, I wanted to hear from Akon's children, because it's just because the way he's talking, like, yes, no, he's father of the year. But sometimes, you know, that's from his perspective. Again, everything's perspective. So from his perspective, he's crushing it. His kids are like, what, bro?
100%. 100%.
Like, nigga, I held my phone all day thinking you're going to call me for my birthday. Not a call?
No, I had to bat up my dad 1 year, though. I waited till 12 o'clock, be like, cool. He didn't hit me. The next day, I was like, sir, but I got 10 kids. You need to remember every single birthday. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, not sorry. Sorry,
I'm not sorry. A birthday person, but like the next day, too, because like actually a few people missed it in the family. I was like, yo, you guys are on warning. Warning.
Yeah, I'm expecting these messages.
Calls. You're on warning and you're on probation.
Gina, you know it's only Auntie Sharon that gets that kind of respect.
First of all, it's never been missed since. Don't ever test my gangsta.
Anyways, I'm forgetting your birthday next year for sure.
I don't know when you're born. Like, I don't even know who you are or where you come from.
For sure.
Actually, I don't know if it's because we're prolonging these. I just literally said two gone wilds, but another gone wild, I don't know if you heard, and you probably didn't, but there was a trend going on over the holiday where kids were telling their parents that their favorite celebrity had passed away as a prank.
Oh, what kind of prank is that?
Not a good one. It's not a good one. And the one that hit viral and required an apology was that of Angela Bassett's son trying it on Angela about Michael B. Jordan.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. It's here's the thing, children of celebrities. It's one thing if the non-followed individuals do it and you can understand the trend or whatnot, blah, 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 cool. But you have a following that you're going to put in, you're going to hashtag Angela Bass, and there's a whole other following. That's a whole other level of prank.
That's a nothing next level prank. It's not funny. You should get a cut ass, old school. What happened?
So, like, he had to literally issue an apology, a public apology about the prank, because it just wasn't funny.
Yeah, it's not funny. It's not funny. And then in this day and age, you put that into the ethers, into the atmosphere. Qu'est-ce qui arrive là? And then tout à coup. Oh, no, Jésus.
Yeah. Pablo même, as we the Haitians say.
I need to learn more Creole, just so I could talk more. More stuff.
Creole, yeah. Just say Creole, because Creole sounded like you were about to say Crayola.
Damn, Creole. So even when I say Creole, you have to say with an accent, eh? Creole. All right.
Well, singing at the end. That's very trendy. I'm not going to lie.
Yo, it's the mix. Creole, oui. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Can we stop? I'm pretty sure the listeners care nothing about this part that we're doing.
Care about me. I don't know about you, but... Right. I also want to put a shout out for a new page that I came across that was pretty funny. I don't know if you've ever seen Between Two Ferns with the Galifianakis guy.
Negative and negative.
Oh, the Greek guy who played it in The Hangover.
No.
So uncultured. Anyway, he has this thing where it's Between Two Ferns, and he does a very dry humor interview. But so there's a comedian called Funny Marco, a black dude that to me it gives me the black version of that. So go find him, go follow him, go watch him. He has a couple of different ones with B. Simone and DJ Envy, and I just got on him. He did one with Dwight Howard. Was it Dwight Howard the other day? Anyway. I just got on that. He's hilarious. It makes me laugh. So go check that out.
Please share it on the page.
No, don't tell me what to do.
Facts.
So I haven't done a today's years old in a while. And so I had a couple that I wanted to share as we wind down my segment. And like I said, I didn't have a joke of the day. So we'll go with these. I was today years old when I realized breakfast is only called that because it's the first time you're eating since the day before. Hence, you're breaking your fast. You knew that, though, right?
Yeah, that to me, that was a logical one.
But it is. But I like that one because anytime someone asks me, like, oh, how can you eat rice in the morning or rice for breakfast or like eat this for breakfast or like yesterday's leftovers? I'm just like, who told you breakfast had to be cereal and eggs?
Okay, well, no, Judah, pause, because you're crazy. You should not be eating such a heavy meal first thing in the morning.
No one said I'm making a whole plate.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you said rice. I'm thinking zuri. I'm thinking you have some riz sauce quoi first thing in the morning.
Yeah, but if I have a portion, a local bowl of riz avec pois collé.
No, you have to talk to Rudy. Rudy will tell you what to eat in the morning, or Paul. Paul will tell you what you should eat in the morning. Yo, it matters. Like, yo, like the way the, Mikey, your body's really a machine.
It really does end up being in the afternoon because I don't eat first thing. My fasts are pretty long, and I give my body time to really digest what I had the night before or the day before.
Correct.
But either
you
way,
ever, you ever get up in the middle of the night to eat like just randomly, like 3 a.m. No. Just wanna.
No,
okay. Could just be me. Could just be me.
Very much could be. But look, at the end of the day, eat when you're hungry. That's really what it is.
Yeah, as long as you can, you know what I mean? Shout out and, you know, my prayers out to those who cannot because the struggle is real these days. God damn it.
Understood. But we also, like, especially in North America, we overdo things too. Like we overdo all these things too. So you should be able to spread. Again, this is not to people who really can't afford to eat. I'm just saying, like, for those who are and who are eating in glutton and in waste, you don't need that much.
Facts. Okay.
I was today years old when I found out if you're not there, you're square because you're not around.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was today years old too for that. Thanks, June.
Yeah. How old were you when you found out the drawer on your stove is for keeping food warm and not for pots and pans? Now, this is for the black people in the back. You know
what do you mean it's to keep the food warm? The drawer under the oven?
Yes.
What do you mean it's not for pots and pans?
It's to keep the food warm. So when you're cooking, You didn't know that? I found that, honestly, I found that recently. I found that, like, I want to say 7 years ago.
What do you say?
I'm still toddler years old about this. I'm still a huge child years old about this. But yes, so when you're cooking your food, that part actually heats up. So when you're finished with it in the oven, you put it under there to keep it warm. And that's with the old ovens. Now new ovens actually has like the, turn on the keep warm for the drawer itself. It has a heating component to it.
Wow.
Yep.
We got beer bots under them things, yo.
Oh, jeez. That's not where the pots go. And I had to say that today because we, the Black Nation, definitely keep our pots underneath there.
Definitely.
Absolutely. And I did that in my old place. I don't have an under drawer now too, because my whole thing is like encastrated in the counter.
Mm-hmm.
So they took that away from me.
Anyways, obviously you always keep something on top of your food anyways, because I just feel stuff would fall from the oven on top of the food. But I guess you keep a lid on your food anyways, right? Or put foil on top of it.
No, but it's still a closed, enclosed compartment.
Yeah, I don't know. Something in my mind, I'm not comfortable with my food being in that drawer. I just feel like something bumps the oven. I'm getting some kind of miette, some kind of crumbs in my food. But it's not the end of the world. I'll just cover it when it's in the drawer. I'm just saying, it's just I would never cover it.
But granted, if you use it for what it's supposed to be there for, I don't know where these miettes are coming from.
Well, that's true too. I don't know. I just, because when I open that drawer, I just find that drawer is kind of dusty. I have all kind of pots and stuff in there, but maybe because I have all kind of pots and stuff in there.
Isn't it wrong?
Yes, inshallah. Okay.
So I was today years old when I learned that an iPhone user can text another iPhone user the words pew pew and it will send lasers. And
I didn't even spell pew pew. Why?
P-E-W-P-E-W. You're not an iPhone user, so you don't understand what the optics, but I tested it. I sent pew pew to my sister and it absolutely did work. It did lasers.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And last but not least, because this, I was definitely today's years old when I took this in. But I was today years old when I learned that Fez, you know, Fez from the 70s show?
Yeah.
Really stands for foreign exchange student. And that's not the character's actual name.
Oh my gosh. That is good. That I never knew. That's so racist. That's super racist, huh?
Super racist.
Yeah. Was there ever a Black guy in that basement?
No, not from my recollection.
Yeah.
It was the 70s. I mean, I think they're pretty much correct on how that was.
Mm-hmm.
It would, you know what they would have needed for the show? Because I think that show's resurrecting. But also that might not have been fully plausible in the 70s, because it would have been like a whole neighbor that had a whole Black household neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
In the 70s, like, we weren't intermingled like that.
Yeah, true.
Especially not in, because they're in like, are they in like Wisconsin?
Yeah, I don't remember where they are.
Yeah, they are, because at the beginning it's like, we love you, Wisconsin. And I'm just like, that's like, you know, where you're just like, you need to see representation, but like that's just true to form. It's true to historic form.
Yeah, it wouldn't be. Blacks would not be as welcomed. Like, and so like Fez is probably the closest that could get there. And he's like, you know, he's sliding under radar and they're calling him blatantly Fez to his name, to his face. So like, you foreign exchange student, you can hang with us.
Yeah, and of course he was the one who was supposed to be the horniest, the weirdest, the pedoest of the
True.
When you go back and watch shows,
I know.
I love The Office, but someone had said too that if The Office came out today, it would have gotten canceled immediately. And I see it. I do understand how
that. There's a lot of like derogatory, like
there's a lot of fat shaming. There's a lot of gay things like that. But like, even if then there's, because the thing about that show is that they have the representation of everybody. So like, it's equal opportunity, like, you know, stereotypes, if you will.
Yeah.
Everyone gets in on it. So that's why I think that's why it's kind of funny. Like, if it was just like a cast of all white folk doing that, that'd be like 100% it would be canceled. But because everyone is in on the joke, you know, I still can find it funny today. But yeah, it probably, like, it would have had so many debates and cancellations online if it had came up in this day and age.
Yeah.
So I know I do social media gone wrong, but I did want to do social media gone 90s, 80s and 90s with a little, and end the segment with a little piece of happiness. So if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, your Saturdays sounded a little bit like this.
Saturday mornings will never be the same. Has lasers, aeroplanes, it's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery or rewrite history. DuckTales, ooh. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. On the top of the weekend with another tailspin.
Now listen, I was jamming. I'm not gonna lie, I was jamming.
Yeah, yeah. You can't help but jam. It tickles in your soul.
You can't help it. But you know what was missing on that one? Animaniacs. We are the Animaniacs. Doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, there's tons of things you could say is missing. Stick around. Yo, what? I used to watch Stick Around.
Saturday.
Yeah, of course. Stick Around on Saturday morning.
Oh, you know what though? I mean, because I remembered all of them. Not to have to say, I don't think Inspector Gadget was a Saturday morning situation for us. I think Inspector Gadget was an afternoon situation when you came back from school.
From school, that for sure. Darkwing Duck too. Darkwing Duck. Well, to me, Darkwing Duck was after school.
Yeah, but I think it might be the difference between the Canadian and the U.S. TV. But yeah, Darkwing Duck 100% too, because Saturday mornings too, like it was Animaniacs, it was
Teletoon. Yeah, like on the Toons, the little.
Tiny Toons.
Sorry, yeah, Tiny Toons.
Yeah, and then but like then a little later on in the day, you got into X-Men. Like then you got into like that Marvel life, and then some DC life in there.
Yeah, yeah. It's just not the same anymore, man. These poor children, like yo, they like we have to save all these cartoons for them, Gino. We have to save them.
It's really for us, because I mean they got their own cartoons too. Like they're with it, you know what I mean? Motown Magic is fire. Like
I've been watching Miraculous Ladybug with these children. So awesome.
Yeah. I think there's Abby Hatchett, like Millie's on Abby Hatchett, and it's great. There's a little black girl being she just changes to different. I think it's Abby Hatchett is the one, but like she does like professions and stuff. Like she's a doctor, she's this, and that.
Abby. Okay, well, there's Abby who she's a scientist, and they. Abby's a scientist. Yeah, big time. But it's okay, June. It's okay.
Oh, right. So many of them, though. So many of them.
Yeah, so like, stuff in. Love her too.
Like I'm happy with what they got for what that is. But you know, like those were the good days, good old 80s and 90s. I'm just saying. Well, folks, I grind, you grind, and sometimes we ungrind together. That's Ungrind My Gears by Gina the Great. So we'd like to thank our special guests. This episode is possible thanks to the awesome people at CKUT, the OFC, Solo Drum, the Caribbean Curry House, and Afrobeats MTL. P, you got any shout outs or anything to say?
Yo, I definitely do. I would like to invite the community to check out Marché Idea. All right. Google Idea. So that's IDIA, Supermarché Idea. It is the new Black owned supermarket. They're now in Châtelet. Their goal is to be able to open all over the place, like a franchise, like Adonis. They are as big as an Adonis or a Sammy Fruits. It is not your conventional, quote unquote Black grocery store. This is a supermarket, and it's, I'm proud to promote it. I'm proud to plug it. I'm looking forward to having them come on the show to talk a little bit more about what they are doing. But guys, please take a moment. Search them, go check them out. They're in Châtelet. Make it a point, guys. Like I'm gonna go deep. Remember when there was the Montgomery bus strike and people were going far by foot to make a difference to make sure their voices be heard. Guys, we're in a situation right now. Food security is a big deal. We have a supermarket within our community where he is dedicated. He said it. I filmed him saying it. He has set up this grocery store for us in terms of a community. It's not just about, yes, we have to be proud of the fact that, yes, there's a Black grocery store within community. But what that means for us, it means food security. It means that we have a place that we could hire, that he could hire our children. There's a place that we know that if things get hard, like, we could go to a grocery store that is looking out for us. I went in there just to give you an example, like, what he has, the way he has things set up is that if ever financially things are getting tight and you can't afford, let's say, a bag of peas, for example, he has a dispenser where you could actually just take the amount of peas that you can afford, for example. So you could, it's like an a la carte kind of thing. It's an amazing concept. His thing is, because he is very mindful of the where we're going, he, in terms of, again, just the cost of living being really high, so he's already forward thinking. And it's not just, again, for the Black community, for the everybody who could benefit, but this is our community grocery store. I want to encourage everybody to go check it out. So it's Supermarché Idea. Big shout out. I'm glad to have him as a part of the community, and I really want to encourage the community to go out and support them. And aside from that, again, always sending love to all OFC members. I thank you all for making it possible for us to be able to be on here. If it wasn't for the OFC, then the support that we get from the community, we would not exist. So again, I want to give you guys a huge shout out. And if there's anybody in the community that could benefit from the support, who needs the support, please do not hesitate to reach out. Contact us anytime, ofccommunity.com or 514-651-4545. Again, and this also goes out to our business owners who are looking for exposure, visibility, you're trying to connect with the community. We are here to help you. We're here to encourage you and help you to get things going. Peace and much love. And one thing I forgot at the beginning of the show, I had to give a special shout out to the team of people who have come together to support the brother Nikos, who was killed by the police in Bordeaux. He was wrongfully detained and then killed while being in jail. And I got to give a huge shout out to the community who has been mobilizing, coming together to make sure that the family has been fed. Shout out to all the restaurants and the food providers in the community that were donating food all week so that the family didn't have to try to cook and different things like that while they're dealing with everything. Shout out to the teams that came together to help with the legal representation. This is what it means to come together as a community. So I'm really proud to be a part of the collective and for seeing what we're able to do. That's it for me.
Kings and queens, this was the Empower Hour with Pharaoh Freeman, Queen Kaya, and Gina the Great. We are on live every Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. and broadcasting Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM. Hopefully you got your dose of entertainment, enlightenment, and empowerment. Subscribe and watch us.
CKUT is looking for a full-time sales and administrative coordinator. The sales and administrative coordinator is responsible for the sale of on-air advertisements and co-presentation partnerships, as well as the negotiating of the radio station's administrative contractual agreements. The ideal candidate will have a passion for community radio, the ability to work with volunteers, clients, and community members, is well-organized, and has strong negotiating skills. We are looking for someone with knowledge of Montreal's arts, culture, and activity scenes who sees media as a tool for building community and can work in a non-hierarchical organization. Financial literacy, bilingualism, and experience with Google Suite products are also a requirement. For full details about the position, wage, and benefits, please visit ckut.ca. The cutoff for applications is Monday, February 6th at 5 p.m. CKUT strives to be a progressive working environment and recognizes experience outside of the formal workplace as important qualifications. We value the unique contributions that individuals from traditionally underrepresented and oppressed communities bring to our organization and encourage these individuals to apply.
Ocean 11, I know Rufus is a go wheel. shoot them a wheel.
Ashanti
Town. Root by the pump of your shanty.
Ashanti Town.
Root by the bum of the town.
Ashanti Town.
What the women folk have to give. Bidding a good morning to you all, I'm Jerry Goodfriend, welcoming you to Folk Directions, a program of music based in and influenced by tradition, here on CKUT Radio, 90.3 FM in Montreal, streamed and archived on the World Wide Web at ckutfolk.com.